It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Please enjoy the study. And we're in the book of Genesis as we're finishing the book of Genesis. And we have just been doing for the last several times we've been together kind of a general survey of what we have learned over the many months and even years that we have been studying the book of Genesis. And we're to the chapter 40 as we will begin now and finish the book of Genesis today. Or should have all intentions of doing that anyway. And so please turn to Genesis chapter 40. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you have joined us and would love to hear from you as you enjoy listening to the program. We've been on for many, many years and really enjoy the study of God's Word and enjoy your participation. And so please write to us if you would like to. Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll begin, and we're just going to read a couple of verses here in the beginning of chapter 40 and then begin with prayer. Genesis chapter 40, verse 1, "And it came to pass, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in word in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." Now, we're going to stop there, and we're going to begin with prayer. Now, Father, I ask that you will guide and lead us, please. It's a wonderful day that you've given us to come together and study your word, as each and every day is wonderful, only because of your presence, only because of you guarding us and protecting us, only because you sent, dear Father, your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross that I may live. And I have come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus, as you have called us to do, and I am a child of God, and I thank and praise you for the opportunity to be not only a child of the King, but also I am able to serve you and praise you and honor you, and please help me to do that each and every day. Now, Father, speak to every heart, whether it be one that is lost, that's never come by faith to you, have them to listen today ever so carefully and respond. And, dear Father, also, I ask that you will guide and lead those that are saved, that they will choose a Bible-believing, soul-winning church that teaches the Word, does not teach a social gospel, but teaches the truth. Please, dear Lord, help them to come and grow and be a witness for you everywhere they go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look now as we come and close this part. We need to look very carefully at this 40th chapter because we find the butler and the baker being put in the prison, and it says, with Joseph. Well, what's Joseph doing there? Remember what happened back in the days of Potiphar and the time that Joseph was helping in their house. He was kind of the captain of the guard. He would have been the secretary of defense, so to speak, that kind of a title. Wonderful position, a very wealthy position, and Joseph was everything Joseph touched. Joseph, it seemed that it was increased and improved, and so we need to see that as we look at this and see these opportunities that God will put us into kind of a strange place, and yet he can use that time to further his gospel, to further his folks knowing him as Savior. It's just so important that we are his witness. We are God's servants. Joseph was just that. Even though I'm sure there's many times that Joseph was going through things, that he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, and he was kept there. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Even in the prison, Joseph became the head of caring for the prisoners and things like that. Wherever God placed him, God raised him up. In Potiphar's house, even in the prison, and now we have this, here comes this butler and this baker. Well, they had offended Pharaoh, and Pharaoh doesn't get offended. And so when Pharaoh was offended, why, the baker and the butler was placed into this prison with him. Well, they both had a dream. They both dreamed, and here come Joseph, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and he told each one, the butler and the baker, what was to come to pass. Well, that's exactly what took place. And as we look now at the end of chapter 40, he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. The problem is that in doing this, in Joseph interpreting these dreams of the butler and the baker, they both said that if these things come to pass, we will remember you. And that was a question or a request that Joseph had, that when you get out, speaking to the butler, when you get out, will you speak on my behalf? Yes, I will. Well, look at verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. So you see, in every person, in Joseph, this godly man, this man that had been unjustly thrown into prison to begin with, had been in prison now for a few years, and yet we find that even then, God still didn't use this man here. The timing wasn't right. And so when things seem to really be going wrong in our life, seek the Lord's will, because you may be in exactly where God needs you to be to move to the next place, to be in service to Him next time. Maybe you're exactly where you need to be. So I ask you that you don't become discouraged, but you look to the ways of God. Put it to prayer, open His Word, and just ask Him to teach you. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not possess the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, to teach you. So you need to be saved first. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. So come today. If the tugging of that Holy Spirit is upon your heart right now, come to Him, please, and please come quickly. And so, as we find at the end now why Joseph was improperly imprisoned to begin with because of Potiphar's wife, and then he interprets these dreams, and the dreams came true in both cases, one to the good and one not so good, because the chief butler chief baker was hanged, but the chief butler forgot. And then it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. And we go through the dream of Pharaoh. So we had the dream of the butler and the baker, and now we have the dream that Pharaoh has. And he calls everybody he could imagine in to answer this dream. Nobody can. Nobody has any idea what this dream means. And so what happens here, that the captain of the guard, and let's begin here with verse 12. There was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard. Remember I told you that even in that position he was moved up. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us. So it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, this is the 14th verse of chapter 41, and brought him hastily out of the dungeon, shaved him, changed his raiment, and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Now look what Joseph's answer was. Joseph could have easily said, yes, I can interpret your dream. Look what Joseph answers Pharaoh. the very one that could hanged the baker. Joseph's life was in this man's hand, and yet Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river." And he begins to tell him of these of this dream, and it was a couple of dreams, and so as it came together, why Joseph, by the hand of God, God was through Joseph, told Joseph exactly what these dreams meant. And it meant there were going to be 7 years of plenty. I mean, the harvest was going to be great. But after that, there was going to be 7 years of famine. 7 years of the worst famine ever. 7 years. So 7 years of good and 7 years of bad. And so the Joseph, in the interpretation to Pharaoh, said, "You need to have someone to come and take care of this." And so, and it was a problem here in verse 34, chapter 41, verse 34. "And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house." And so, once again, Joseph has not only come out of the dungeon, he has been placed in the highest position in Egypt next to Pharaoh. There is only one over him, and Pharaoh turned everything over to him. And Joseph, he built storerooms. Joseph picked the cities where he was to store all this grain, and he began to salvage year after year. He stored up this grain, and so that's 7 plenteous years. Now, you know, man, and especially here Pharaoh, could have very easily, very simply said unto Joseph after the third or fourth or fifth year, "You know, you've got enough. There's enough stored up here. And you know, I'm Pharaoh. I don't believe this is ever going to take place anyway, this famine that you're talking about, let alone 7 years of famine." And so Pharaoh could have done that. Pharaoh's leadership that he listened to could have done that. But he didn't. Pharaoh listened to what Joseph had to say concerning his dream. Pharaoh appointed Joseph to do just that, and Pharaoh did that by the leadership and the strength of the Lord. Oh, let's look back very quickly. Joseph was loved by his father, hated by his brothers. His brothers had taken him and had somewhat beaten him, thrown him into this dry well, then sold him. And in selling him, then he gets down into Egypt, and we find that Potiphar, this secretary of defense, purchased him and made him his servant. Well, he found quickly how successful and how knowledgeable and how much wisdom this man had in everything that he touched. Everything that Joseph touched, it turned to gold almost. And so he recognized that. So he turned everything, Potiphar turned everything over to Joseph very quickly. Well, then Joseph's wife decided that Potiphar's wife decided that she wanted Joseph. Well, Joseph wouldn't have anything to do with her, and so in rejecting Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's wife had Joseph put into prison. Well, now he's in prison. Then we run into the baker and the butler. We listen to those dreams. He interprets those dreams properly by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so now we find that because of that, the butler then speaks to Pharaoh, and he comes before Pharaoh. And he does not take any of the blessings, doesn't take any of the pride himself, because he says, "My God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is the one that can answer prayers, and he will tell you." Pharaoh listened to that. Now, he could have been criticized and ridiculed and thrown back into prison again, or back into the dungeon, or he could have been put to death. But instead of that, God used this, and Pharaoh's ears, he listened. He allowed Joseph to do everything he was to do, and at the end of this 7 years, the famine started. And the whole purpose of all this was for Joseph to be in the proper place. And now we find that Joseph is in this high place, this place of position. And we know, according to the 46th verse of chapter 41, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. That means for 13 years he had been separated from his brothers, because he was 17 years old, and now he's 30. And so 13 years have passed. And now, why, we have the famine underway. And I mean, the famine wasn't just in Egypt. The famine was worldwide. And all those in the known world came unto Egypt, because word had it that there was food in Egypt. Well, why was there food in Egypt? There was food in Egypt because of the knowledge of God that went into Joseph, and Joseph listened to the words of God, and he proclaimed those same words to Pharaoh. Pharaoh believed him. Pharaoh began then to allow Joseph to do exactly what he was supposed to do, and he stored all his food up. They had plenty all those 7 years, but at the end of that 7 years, it was shut off. And the first year, it wasn't too bad. Into the second year, but we get past that, and everybody, there was just no food. Everybody was starving to death. People were coming, kings were coming, unto Joseph, not to Pharaoh, unto Joseph, asking him, they would come to Pharaoh, but Joseph was the one that took care of everything. And so of all places they would come, and they would buy food and go home, because you see, there was plenty. Because Joseph knew there was going to be 7 years of this, so he had to budget this out for 7 years. Well, what happened also in the land of Canaan, where Jacob and all of his brothers lived, they had no food. They were going to starve to death. So Jacob sent down his sons, all but Benjamin, down to Egypt to buy food. Well, it had been 13 years. Joseph, not expecting Joseph to be the head of Egypt, or at least why second in command of Egypt. And so here comes the sons, his brothers down, Jacob's other, the rest of the sons down, and they come before Joseph. Well, Joseph recognizes them. He does not show them who he is, but he begins to inquire who they are. And he says, "You're spies, aren't you?" "No, we're not spies. We've just come down. We need food." And who is at home? "Well, our father is at home, and then a younger brother is at home. And then we have a younger brother, a brother also, that we don't know where he is." And you see, Joseph and Benjamin are the two youngest. And so Benjamin is the baby of the family. Joseph here is next, and they had sold him, but they, as far as they knew, he was dead. They had no idea. And if anything, he was just somebody's servant somewhere down in Egypt. He had no idea where they had no idea where Joseph was. Well, they were talking to Joseph. And so here come Joseph, and he listened. And Joseph listened to them. They listened to Joseph. And they says, "Well, I want you to, here's your food, and I want you to, that's fine, but I need to know about about Benjamin, about your younger brother." He didn't say his younger brother. He did not identify himself at all. Inquired of his father how he was, and he's fine. Everything's okay. So they said, "Now, you know, this is fine." They purchased it. They went back home. But when they went back home, he put the money back in their sacks. He didn't take their money. And so all of a sudden now all these brothers go back home. And they says, you know, it was strange, you know. And they were worried because here was the money. And also he said, now if you return, do not return without your brother Benjamin. Well, Jacob said, I have lost one brother, or one son, Joseph. You're not taking Benjamin, because see, that's the two that was through his bride, the one that he loved. And he was not about to lose his second, because you see, Rachel was dead. Rachel had died before. And so now all he had left was Benjamin, and he was not about to leave Benjamin go. And so they says, well, if we go down and return without Benjamin, then he won't give us any money, and he'll call us spies, and he will keep us. Well, we need to add to this a little bit, too, because one of the brothers stayed. He kept one of the brothers down in Egypt when the rest of them went home. And so this period of time passed, and it was much time passed. Now they run out of food again. Still had this famine over the land. So Jacob said, go down and get some more food. Here's the money. And he says, no, we can't go without Benjamin. Jacob said, you're not going. You're not going unless... The boys said, we're not going if Benjamin goes. Jacob said, then you're not going. So a period of time, just a little time lapsed again, and says, you've got to go down and get food, Jacob said. And the brothers said, not without Benjamin. So finally he allowed Benjamin to go. It just broke Jacob's heart because he'd already lost Joseph. And so down they come. And this time now, why, then they see Joseph again. They come to buy food again. Here is Benjamin. Well, this time we have another discussion. And he said, I will keep Benjamin, and you go on back home. And the brother says, no, we're not going to, we can't. It'll kill our father if we do that. One son is already gone, and now his other favorite son, we can't do that. We will not do that. And so this whole conversation continues to go on. And as they head back again, he allows them to go back home. But Joseph has something put in Benjamin's satchel, along with all the money and that they brought down to pay for the food. All that was back in there. Plus, there was something else. And then he sent them after him because, thinking he would be a thief, that was Joseph's way of getting Benjamin back. And so when all this all takes place and it gets back to Jacob, and when it's all finished, Jacob finds his way down to Egypt. He brings his household and his family, and they come down to Egypt. All this was a plan. All this, the back and forth. And finally, the last time before they returned, after they had brought everybody back again to Joseph, because they had found out who the thief was, and it wasn't a thief at all. It was just a plan to get him back. He didn't know, you know, the other brothers, they were just at an end. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do, what to say, where to go. They didn't know what to do, because to go home, it would kill their father if Benjamin wasn't with them. And so then they had a plan. But before that plan was fulfilled, before they decided what to do, Joseph showed himself to his brothers. He just couldn't keep it any longer, because he just, and his love for Benjamin and his love for the brothers, and at the same time, the brothers still feared for their life now when they found out who it was. Oh, he is going to kill us. All through the scripture of this story, back and forth, from Canaan to Egypt, the brothers are all talking about, you know, you remember what we did to Joseph? I think that's the reason we're going through all this. You know, that's the reason. And so it was kind of a constant reminder to them of the plague that they were in the middle of. It was because of what they had done to Joseph. But when they were introduced to Joseph and recognized Joseph, they still feared him of what he would do. And Joseph said, now you think about this, can we do this? Joseph said, oh, you don't worry about a thing. This was all God's plan, and I praise God for the plan. That you sold me into slavery, that Potiphar bought me, that this thing with his wife I ended up with in the prison, and then we meet up with the butler and the baker, and then before Pharaoh, and here I am. Look how God's hand was upon this. That was Joseph's statement. Now, can we do that, or do we kind of look and think, oh, it's a mess again, or can we look at the plan? Can we, you know, we don't have the knowledge ahead, but we can look into our past and see how God did this and this and this to bring us here. What a wonderful opportunity we have as believers in Jesus Christ, being led by the Spirit of God. We have His Word before us. And Joseph was the same way. Well, these brothers were still a little skittish. Benjamin was fine, but the rest of them were a little bit worried. Anyway, they send up wagons now, and they go all the way back to the land of Canaan. And they bring all of his household of Jacob. He said, bring him down here. And so they brought him down into the land of Egypt. And so we find that Jacob and all of his household, all of his brothers are down now, and we bring them into Egypt. Joseph inquires of Pharaoh if this can take place, and Pharaoh gives him the land of Goshen. And you know, if you've ever heard anything of the Israelites in Egypt, you hear of the land of Goshen. Well, that's where Pharaoh gave Jacob, Joseph, all of the land that they needed. And it was the best land, some of the best land in Egypt. And so they come into the land of Egypt, and they begin and live there now for many years, not just 10 years or 20 years. Jacob, after arriving in, time passes, Jacob dies. Jacob said, do not bury me here. Bury me at home, because that is our land, the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so, by Pharaoh's permission, Joseph took, as well as many of the officials of Egypt, they took Jacob home and buried him in the land of Canaan. And then we come back once again into the land of Egypt. So now we just have Joseph and all the brothers. With the death of Jacob, we are concerned, the brothers are concerned again for their well-being, even though some time had passed. And Joseph confirms again that there's not a problem here. God's plan is in place, and we're going to follow Him and praise Him. And so Joseph says, he says, now my father Jacob is buried back home. Do not allow me, my bones, to stay in this land. And so he inquired of his brothers, of those of authority in the family of Israel, Jacob, that they would take his bones and carry them to Canaan. And so not long then, in the end of this book, the end of the book of Genesis, we find that not only did they take Jacob home and bury him, but also Joseph dies. And so at the very end, we find that Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. 110 years. He started in the land of Canaan. He left the land of Canaan when he was 17 years old, and he is 110 years old now that he dies. And so the land, the people of Israel in Goshen begin to multiply very, very rapidly. And the numbers continue to grow. And we have in the first chapter of Exodus the family members of Jacob. And that's where we begin to build now the family of Jacob. It is done in the land of Egypt over several hundred years. And we'll talk about that. I'm glad that you've joined us today. It is a wonderful opportunity to study God's Word. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?